Okay, now, take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in Ephesians for a while now, good while, as a matter of fact. And we're bringing it towards a completion. Won't probably get to it tonight, but towards a completion. Ephesians chapter 6. And what a great passage this is. I think we read the last of this chapter together last Lord's Day. And so we didn't want to really just get started on where we are this evening. All right. So let's look, though, at beginning in verse number 10. Notice what he says. This is after verse 9. He talked about the masters. He had talked about the servants. So that's employees, employers. Now he's going to change the direction as he's bringing this letter to a conclusion. He says, finally, my brethren. Now, if I could borrow your eyes just for a second. When he is saying, finally, my brethren, he's going to bring up a new topic, obviously. We don't have time to do it tonight, and you and I are not going to be able to think about it tonight. But I hope that we'll go back just for a little bit, not with us, but by yourselves. I will with myself. And go back and review what all Ephesians has been about. What a phenomenal book. What a letter he sent to these Christians whom he loved, and revival was going on in the city of Ephesus. But when I think of the book of the Revelation, what's the first church he addressed? The church at Ephesus. Ah, wait a minute. The book of Ephesians, the letter, Paul's writing, and this is good, and I love you, and you're doing this, and to God be the glory. And very first book that he addressed to the churches at Asia, to the church at Ephesus, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, and you're doing this right. But I have somewhat against you because you have what? Lost your first love, left your first love. And so as we begin to read Ephesus, Ephesians, as we begin to think about what all is in Ephesians that he's talked about, see then that you walk certain. Let's just do this. This is not a good way to do a Bible study, but let's just, no one's here but us. All right? What's the verse? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What chapter? That's chapter 5, verse 16. I'm not going to look. Okay? Verse 19. And to know the love of, this is chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? Let's try it again. Let's see here. We'll try to stay in Ephesians. All right? Without looking. And to make, this is in chapter 2, and this is verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. He's talking in all of this, if you look across the column from that, he's talking about the foundation of growing in the Lord and guarding yourself against the wiles of the devil and all the things there. So when we come now to chapter number 6 and we find ourselves in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren. So it would serve us well, for me, Randy Bray, and for you. It would serve us well in the congregation, in our live stream family. It would serve us all well to go back and review. What a great book. What a great letter that was written. What love was just exuded, just flowing out of Paul's pen as he's writing this. He's penning this epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And let's keep both of these writings in mind. Ephesians, the letter. The book of the Revelation, the Apostle John wrote. Not Paul, but the Apostle John. And he says, you've left your first love. You'd stepped out of it. You'd left it. First love's there. You're over here. You're over there. Down here. He doesn't really tell us. I have my thoughts of what the first love was. Just reading Ephesians a lot. And then reading the indictment that John gives in the book of the Revelation. But it's going to be different for different individuals, will it not? Sure it will be. And so I would require of Randy Bray, as I'm looking at finally my brethren, for me to be diligent in going back over what the Lord's done in my life. The areas in which I've disappointed the Lord, but I've gotten it right. And the echoes of those old wily temptations can come back and try to invite me into paying attention to them again. Or they come, what kind of a Christian are they? They have an accusatory message to it. Why, if you were really a godly Christian, if you really think God could use you, oh, you ought to just remember. No. I remember what God's done. And I remember how He forgave me. Or I remember how He helped me to grow at mock speed. Just, oh, it was just such a... Yes, I remember that. And then I ask myself, temptation-wise, am I letting it still slap me around? Or coming back, maybe it's been absent for a while, and I haven't really been paying attention to it, and it comes back and starts slapping me around, because that's what this text is all about. In the next few verses is spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at that together. All right, here we go. Finally, my brethren, notice what he says. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, what we're going to do is, and we won't get through all of it tonight, but I have about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different subjects. And so I'll just give you these subjects, and we're not going to look at them in depth and in great length. We're at the end of this study. But nonetheless, if we're going to do spiritual warfare, you can't go at it haphazardly. I've told you about the first, when I just took one semester of karate at Bob Jones, that's all. So I'm you know, I can't whip my way out of a wet paper bag hardly, all right? But when I took the test for the green belt test, and I had done well in the other, and so the instructor, as you've heard me say, I'm sure, the instructor said, if any of you would like to pass the or take the green belt test, just let me know. And so one other fellow and I did. And so long story short, that you've heard, you could say that better than I can. But nonetheless, when I got there to take the test, I had to do a kata and some moves that you have to do exactly right, and I did fine on that. And then he said, now, Randy, and to this other young man, he said, now, you're going to have to do something you haven't done before. And what's that? He said, you're going to have to spar. You're going to have to fight against two men at the same time. And these are brown belts or black belts. They know what they're doing. And he said, you're going to have to do two at a time? Yes. And that's part of the test. You have to do that in order to get your next belt, the green belt. Okay? All right. Okay. So here I am, and... all weighing all maybe 110 pounds, and I'm in there with these big old rascals, and so we start sparring. And so I got a couple of kicks in, maybe a couple of punches, and they got theirs in, and everything was fine, and I boom, ja, boom, boom, boom. I thought, I think I might have made it. And the instructor saw me afterwards. He said, you want to know how you did? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you failed. I did. Failed. Would you like to know why? And I said, yes, sir, I would. I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew that. He said, you never fight two people at the same time. Never, never. Or there's just two, or there's five, or there's 15. You never fight two at the same time. He said, you identify the greatest threat. And when you identify the greatest threat, you don't worry about anyone else. You just don't. You go after the greatest threat. And the others are going to get their kicks in. They're going to get their punches. You know, they're going to get in behind you when you're facing this guy. No doubt about it. Take it. Don't worry about that. You focus on the first guy. You take him out. And then after the first guy, you go after the second guy. And you take him out. Then you go after the third guy. And by the way, if you've got 10 guys after you, you take out their number one guy. You take out their number two guy. You take out their number three guy. You're not going to have to worry about the next seven. Because they're going to be gone, okay? The point I'm trying to make is this. Is in spiritual warfare, we have to know what the devil is using against us. Sometimes we get so busy swatting at flies, so to speak, this little thing and that little thing and that little thing, where the devil in our old flesh brings in a major thing that can put us belly down. It can put us, or belly up, either way. It can put us to where we're ineffective for God because we're either fighting those things that are not necessary, or we're fighting the wrong battle. We've got a foe that's against us. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it is lethargy, laziness. Whatever it is that's destroying or has the potential of ruining your walk with the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what is number one. And then go to the Word of God and find out what that is. All right, so here are the four or five things. These are the subjects. If you want to take them down, you can, but we'll get to them sequentially. We'll get to them in time. The first is know what is commanded. Know what is commanded. So you have several what's called imperatives in here. An imperative is a command, okay? And for example, if I see a child going up, and by the way, folks, if you'll help me remember, I want to make sure that we drain the baptistry. There's not any locks on these doors that lead to the baptistry. And also, if a young child crawled up on this back pew and crawled over the pew, could fall into that baptistry, okay? And praise God it hasn't happened here, but there's been baptistries where children have drowned. Just because of their inquisitive nature and they like to think about swimming or whatever, and they get into it, and we can make provision. We can put, I talked to Brother Mintz about it, we can put locks on these doors, the little things where you stick the whatever through and it opens from the outside. We can make provisions for the top, put barbed wire, well, maybe not put barbed wire, but we'll put something up there that would handicap a child, because right now, a child could stand on there, and there's no other guard except for where the white board is. A child could just easily crawl up there and then just go plunge right into it, and a young enough child would never get out. And so is that all right with everybody if we just go ahead and drain it? Is it going to cost us a little bit for water? Oh, I'd rather pay the cost for the water than to have a funeral. Amen? All right. So you said amen for it. That's good. All right. So you I'm not sure. No, yeah, we all are of the same mind on that. All right, so if you'll help me remember that, we'll drain it. I just got to remember where it is. Does anyone remember where the drain is? All right, we'll just punch a hole in the baptistry. All right, no, we'll find where the drain is. All right, so number one is know what is commanded. They're imperative. So where I got started on that is if a child was standing up on the back pew and out of curiosity was saying, I want to see where the water is. Is it a swimming pool? I was telling the folks today, I think it was today that I was looking through my things, and I don't know why, just getting things settled in my office, and I came across a picture, and I probably can't find it again, but I came across a picture. I'm in the baptistry getting ready to baptize a little boy, and just like I did this morning, and the little fella, I guess he just got excited and thought the way to get into a swimming pool is a cannonball. And so the picture is he's mid-air. You know, he's mid-air. I'm down there going like that. No, all right. And sure enough, boom, cannonball right in the baptistry. So if I saw a child up there, I'd say, Schnortsky, get down from there. Now, that's not a request. That's called an imperative. It's a command. Why? I'm not his daddy. Okay? But his daddy, if his daddy knew that I saw that and didn't say something, he would say, Brother Bray, you're guilty. You saw my child up there who's not old enough to have the knowledge of what's right and wrong and what's safe and not safe, and you watched my child crawl up on that ledge and then tumble over, and then you just turned your back and went about something else. You'd be culpable in that, okay? So that's an imperative. Well, there's a number of imperatives in here, all right? So we'll not look at them at the moment. We'll look at them in just a moment. Know what is commanded. Number two is know who the enemies are. Know who the enemies are. Number one, know what is commanded. We'll look at that tonight. Number two, as time allows, we're going to look at know what is commanded. Know what is commanded. I'm sorry, number one is know his command. Number two is know who the enemies are. Number three, know, K-N-O-W, know the enemy's strategies. Know the enemy's strategies. They're all here in Ephesians 6. Know the enemy's strategies. Number four is know your equipment. Know your equipment. If you don't know what you have to defeat temptation in your life or defeat onslaughts in your life, then you're going to be ill-equipped to fight the devil. By the time you figure out where the battle front is, you're already going to be wounded. All right, so know your equipment, and then finally, know your strategy. Know your strategy. So many of you are taking notes, so let me just give those again. Number one is know what is commanded. Number two, know who the enemies are. Number three, know the enemy's strategy. They don't just do it helter-skelter, just going back and forth. Well, I think I'll try it. No, they have a strategy. The underworld, the flesh, the devil. Know the enemy's strategy. Number four is know your equipment. Okay, six different things. We'll look at those later. Number five is know your strategy. Know your strategy. And then we'll finish out the chapter in a wonderful way in knowing how to develop, and this isn't one of them, but knowing how to guard your brother or sister in Christ. As you're watching unto prayer, as you're watching for them, As they fight. Okay? All right. So now let's look at know what is commanded. Look at verse number 10. All right? Now it's interesting. Notice the words of power in verse number 10. There's three times he says strong or power or and might. All right? Those three words. He says, finally, my brethren, be, what's that word? Okay, that was not a very strong. All right? Let's try it again. Finally, my brethren, be what? Oh, now that's good. Strong in the Lord and in the what?
Power.
Of his?
Might.
Okay, three different words. And just for fun, I looked him up in the Greek. And there's three different Greek words. One of them has to do with ability. The other two have to do with power. Just power, like hydropower. Just the strongest, as far as I know, it's the strongest force on earth is hydropower. Power that's produced by water, okay? Just like the oceans or whatever it is, just strong, all right? So that kind, not hydropower, but just forceful power. And then might has the same idea of great force, okay? Great power. So notice what he says here. This is know what is commanded. Number one is be strong in the Lord. That's in the imperative. So if it's in the imperative and therefore it's a command, what does that tell you about it? Okay, it's just us here, so we're not impressing anybody, so let's just chat. All right, if it says, think about it, if it's a command, be strong in the Lord. What's kind of attached to that? Be strong in the Lord. Help me out, what do you think?
In the Lord.
Okay, it has to be in the Lord, very good. It's not just us. All right, but let's just take those two words, be strong in the Lord. What do we infer? What can we get out of the fact that he's making this a command? Be strong in the Lord. Help me out. That was excellent, Larry. Somebody else. What is it? Oh, excellent. Because it's beyond us. Faith, that's right. Yes, sir.
Discipline.
Very good. Yes. All right. Now, my mind is kind of simplistic. Okay? It just kind of looks at the bottom line. If he's giving me a command, that means I can do it. Doesn't it? God's never going to command me to do something that I cannot do. And he is saying, Randy, be strong in the Lord. That means, now Lord, I know this guy. I am he. And I know, Lord, that I'm not very strong. He didn't say be strong if you're strong. He didn't say be strong in Randy. He said be strong through faith in the Lord, as we've already heard. So what that means is I can either be strong in the Lord or not in the Lord. Now, how can I be... Okay, let's say it's kind of a double or triple negative there. How can I not be strong in the Lord. Well, we also, I'm sorry?
Fleshly reactions.
Ah, there we go. Fleshly reactions. It's called, yes, sir.
I was going to say not studying.
Not studying. That's exactly right. Now, if we're strong in the Lord, are we a delight to God? Yes or no? Yes. If we're not strong in the Lord, and He's given us the command to be strong in the Lord, but for whatever reason, we're too distracted to read the Bible today. I'll read it tomorrow, or whatever it is. I've got this problem that I've had in my life, and I just kind of, I've sinned against some people, or I've just, that was then, and this is now, and there's water under the bridge, and we're just doing fine, and we let it go. That means I can also grieve the Holy Spirit, can I? If I'm strong in the Lord and I'm walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord, because the Bible said to Paul to the Corinthian church that we're to be a sweet-smelling savor of God to Christ. We are to be a sweet-smelling savor of Christ to God. So when the Lord thinks of Randy Bray, the first thing in the way I would term it. When God thinks of me, the Father thinks of me, He wants to think about His Son. He wants to think about what His Son is doing in my life. Because there's never an ungodly thought about Christ in God's mind. And unfortunately, when I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, I'm having to make God think about those thoughts. Now, He's not tempted to evil. We know that from James. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And I've given into that from time to time, and so have you. And live stream folks, so have you. But when we realize, wait a minute, He says, be strong in the Lord. That means I can be. That means I have a choice. I can either follow after the Spirit and not after the flesh, or I can follow after the flesh and not after the Spirit. And it's not the flesh that's got me and pulling me over here, and I can't help it, He's just dragging me along. Or it's the Holy Spirit dragging me over here, and I don't have a choice in it. No. It's whichever way my feet are moving. And He says, walk after the flesh and you'll fulfill it. But walk after the Spirit, and ye shall not. Galatians chapter 5, it's aorist subjunctive in the negative. You want to look it up, it's very distinct, very particular. He's saying, if I walk after the Spirit, I choose. If I walk after the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does it mean I'm not going to be tempted? No! I can be tempted the whole time I'm walking after the Spirit. But I don't turn my back on the Spirit. I turn my back on the temptation of the flesh. You ever get tempted? Is there anybody here that you get tempted on a regular basis? Oh yeah, all of us. How about you get tempted in a whole bunch of different ways? Yeah, yeah. But notice what he says, be strong. You mean I can be strong in the Lord and still have these thoughts in my mind? Oh yeah. Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's what this chapter is all about. That's what this passage is all about, is understanding that when I'm walking in the will of God, it's going to be a nonstop, well, I would say nonstop, but it's going to be a frequent occurrence when I'm walking this way, wanting to serve the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's my ambition. But the whole time, I got a voice, and it knows right where the vulnerable points are in my attention. And it tries to allure me back or intimidate me. He says, be strong in the Lord. Brother Kurt, you can be strong in the Lord, though your legs aren't strong. Amen? You can be strong in the Lord. Brother Larry, Brother Jordan, Sister Shelley, he says, we can be strong in the Lord. So notice what he says, be strong in the Lord. Notice he says, and in the power of his might. Now, the first be strong has the idea of ability. Be strong in the Lord. I can do this with God's help. I can do all things through Christ with me. With God, the angel told Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Aren't you glad for that? So if you turn that jacket inside out, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Yes. Okay. Notice what he says, be strong in the Lord. That's ability. But notice what he says, and. So there's more to it. And in the what? Power, different Greek word, has the idea of just great power. One has the idea of ability. We get the word dynamite from it. Okay? Dynamite. Okay? Ability. Strength. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did you know God can do anything? Anything, anything, God can do anything but what? But fail. That's right. The Green family wrote many, many years ago the song, Obedience is the Very Best Way to Show That You Believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands and doing it faithfully, is that it? Or something like that? I think something like that. We'll just add those words to it if that's all right. All right. But the idea there is, wait a minute, yes, I have, through Christ, I have the ability to fulfill what God wants me to do in my life today. There is nothing, nothing heavenward, nothing earthward, nothing under the earth in the bowels of hell itself that can keep me from doing what God wants me to do today. Nothing. If it's God's will for me, with God's enablements, I can do it. And I need to understand Bray's abilities are limited. Bray's ability. When I counsel, I just do it quite a bit, not so much here in the recent days as in former days, but when I counsel, a lot of times it's pretty serious stuff. Sometimes it's not so serious, but it's serious to them. And 9 times out of 10, I'll say, is like, for example, at Ambassador, I'd have a student come to see me. I counseled about 1.5 hours a day on an average at Ambassador, just students for just say, Brother Bray, would you just like to talk with you? And usually there's something. It may have been they were abused, or it may be whatever. Who knows what all. And I would ask them when they come in, they sat down in my office, or I've done this gazillions of times when I'm not on faculty and I'm being a pastor or a youth pastor, and they come in and say, I'd like to sit down and talk with you. And I'd say, okay, is this about studies at Ambassador? Is this about studies or about life? And then oftentimes it would be about life. And I say, well, I tell you what, let's just pray about it, because my wisdom runs out very quickly. As a matter of fact, if I had a thimble, it would probably be a half a thimble full, and it's got a hole in the bottom of the thimble. But God's wisdom never runs out. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He can't give it liberally unless he has more than in abundance than what is necessary, because he wants to give it liberally. So when you and I think about this, and he says, be strong, you have the ability, and I'm going to command you, stay off that pew. No. He says, Randy, be strong in the Lord. I'm going to call you to do something where you're going to have to be strong. Or when you have that temptation, I'm going to command you to be strong. When you have that, whatever it is, be strong, but understand that what you need represents about what this, let's say, and I don't have the mic on tonight, but hopefully they'll pick it up. Let's say this is the setting that's represented by these lovely flowers that are fake. Okay, they are. That's a good thing. I probably would have just messed them up. All right? The pretty flake. I'm never going to get out of this. All right. Let's let this represent, all right, what I'm going to go through. Okay? So here it is. This represents my setting in which God says, Randy, in this setting, be strong. But he says, in the power of his might. Okay? This is my setting. Again, this is an exaggeration in the minimal part. But let's say the power of his might represents from this wall to the back wall, to the other back wall, to the other front wall, comes in, goes out. Everything represented in this building represents the power of his mind. He is saying to Randy, and I have a finite mind, it's just a small mind if I could put it that way. He's saying, Randy, in the setting that you're in right now, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's fear, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's depression, whatever it is, this is my setting, which God is saying, be strong. That's a command. Stay off the pew. It's a command. God is saying, Randy, you be strong where you are. With wanting to quit, with wanting to get lazy, with wanting to be bitter, with wanting to whatever it is. Be strong in your setting. Oh, but wait a minute, Randy. Not in your power. That's insufficient. But in the power of his mind. When I look at this, and Randy Bray is kind of like this, all right? Here's what a little bit of power and ability I've accessed and developed, and I've got a little bit. And if I saw this blossoming thing coming up, and it's going to, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? If I look at this, and then I think about this, I'm going to cower in a corner somewhere and hope for tomorrow. But when I think about this, and I'm looking up from there to there, there to there, there to there, there to there, all this. Oh. There's more power. There's more power in this one pew that can take care of several of these problems. What does that do? I can do this. Dear Lord Jesus, I've got this coming in front of me and I'm intimidated by it, Lord. It's a habit. It has ruled me. It has ruined my faithfulness to you. It has thrown all kind of accusations about you to me and about me to you. And Lord, I don't have the power in my own strength, but you said I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So Lord, I don't want to look at what Randy Bray can do. I want to look at what you can do through Randy Bray to take care of this temptation or this accusation or whatever it is. In the power of your might, Father, I need your help. Please help me. You may remember well, and I'm sure you do, what the book of Hebrews says, chapter 4, that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen? That's why we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because when we are here, we're not like little children that's being told to lift a 154. Okay? This is not going to happen. No, when you and I come boldly before the throne of grace as His beloved children, and we're not wanting to walk after the flesh but after the Spirit, we're wanting to be successful, we're wanting to be strong in the Lord. And yet, when we look at, when we look at this, the size of my abilities, there's just no way. But when I begin to look at, wait a minute, this is all accessible. And we don't need all of this to take care of this. All we need is just poop, and that's taken care of. God's able to do anything but faith, as the old children's youth group songs have in mind. God can do anything. God can do anything but faith. Notice that he says, be strong in the power of his what?
Mind.
And we'll not belabor that anymore other than just to say praise God for it. Now notice what he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then notice what he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now we may not get much further than this tonight, but there's a world of difference between those two prepositions, in and on. In and on. The first is be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then notice the follow-up. Put on the whole armor of God. Unfortunately, there's too many Christians, and I have been among them, perhaps you as well, that I get a little cocky sometimes. And I think, okay, here's temptation. Okay, there's a line of temptation. Okay. Temptation to get angry. Temptation to whatever it is. And I know where that line is. And I'm not, no, there's no way I'm going to, no. I can get over here, though. No. He says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. But then He requires me to put on the whole armor of God. He has the ability to fight any battle that I ever will face. Amen or no? Amen. God's not troubled with that at all. So He wants Randy, and He wants you to know that through Him, all things are possible. And we can exit this encounter with temptation or a troublesome time or a disease or whatever it is. We can enter, engage, and exit absolutely in the will of God. But He also requires us to not just be strong. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Too many times, Christians, and I would include myself among them, if I'm not careful, oh boy, things are going really well. You know, I don't really need I don't need that armor. You know, I'm okay. Live stream folks, I'm not aiming at you here, okay? Just understand. Okay, I know there's all kinds of circumstances for people to look at live stream. That's why we have it. But it sure is easier to stay at home, isn't it? You know, we can drink our coffee and listen to the preacher. And if he's waxing an elephant instead of just, I mean, he's going on and on. I got it, preacher. I got it. Honey, I'm really thirsty. Is there any tea left in the refrigerator? Yeah, okay. All right, good. And when the songs are sung, the hymns of the faith are sung, you know, it sure is easy to stay at home, isn't it? Yeah, I tell you what, we'll turn the TV down a little bit, but let's just leave the screen going so we can see what's going on and whatever it is. I'm not hammering, I'm just using it as an illustration. Well, you know, COVID's kept us at home, and I'm not talking about those who can't be here because of COVID, all right? But did you realize there's a national epidemic, if I could put it that way, about people who were faithful in church before COVID? We can't go out. No, there's COVID. COVID. Oh, there's COVID. If I go out, I'm going to get 14 levels of epizooty, and I'm going to die 5 times, and it's just going to be terrible. So I'll wait until everything is over, and it's been quite a while since they have been in the house of God. And it says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I'm not saying we need to do it foolishly. If we need to mask, we mask. If we need to keep our distance, we keep our distance. But here's my point. And again, I know it's going to sound to our live stream folks like I'm hammering. I use a lot of illustrations about a lot of different things. But this is an easy one to understand, that there are probably hundreds of thousands of Christians who have stopped going to church because they don't have to get dressed to go. They can turn it off whenever they're ready. They don't get under conviction, that's for sure, usually. And by the way, we just go to, you know, people want to see our clothes, what we're dressing, that's, you know, what's new, what's in style, what's not in style. And that's why he's saying here, and I'm just using that as an illustration, so please don't be offended, all right? Somebody told me a long time ago, don't take offense unless offense is intended, okay? If offense is intended, then understand, it's intended. But let me add a little bit to that. Don't take offense unless offense is intended, but when it is intended, respond righteously, okay? When somebody intends to give you a hard time, they intend to say something that they know is going to rub the cat the wrong way, it's going to irritate, it's going to hurt, it's going to whatever, okay, then take that. Understand, all right, this is why they meant it. But there's a righteous way for me to respond, because if I don't respond righteously, then the devil's won on both sides. Okay? So Livestream folks, don't take it as an offense. But understand that whether we're talking about whatever the setting, he says, put on the whole armor of God. So that when I understand, okay, yeah, it would be easier not to go to church. Or it would be, you know, maybe I will catch it or whatever. Well, if there's no way to protect from it, if it's true that everybody is contracting it and everything's shut down, well, then yes, stay home. But when it's just a fear, when it's just a fear, I've reviewed my dissertation just in the last 2 or 3 weeks, reading it again and making a couple of corrections here and there, and I've submitted it for a copyright and so forth. And as I was looking at the first one that I'm going to be writing on is anxiety. And as I looked at the other six, as they call them, disorders, mental or emotional disorders, bipolar and some things like that, I began to look at it and afresh and anew. It had been a while since I've looked at it. And then I was reminded that anxiety is a part of almost every one of those other disorders, whether it's PTSD or OCD or ADHD, whatever it is. And it's called a comorbidity, where one contributes to another disorder. And those together can do something that neither one of them does individually. And then when you put those two things together, it's like chemicals. When you put those two things together, then they can attract another disorder. So there's a number of folks who've been diagnosed as by a psychiatrist as having multiple disorders. Why? Because there's similarities and they just feed off of each other. That's why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But it's not all about what God can do. It's about what God tells me to do too. And that is put on the whole armor of God. And you and I can do that. And how do we do it? How do we do it? Do it like I go over and I put my jacket on and say, all right, I got my jacket on? No. I go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I know I do. I don't like to face it, but I've got an attitude problem. Or Lord, I've wronged someone and have not gotten it right. Or Lord, I'm jealous, or Lord, I'm bitter, or Lord, I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm a brazen. I just have a way of making people mad, or I have a way of making people feel intimidated, or whatever it is. Okay. Maybe I better put on the whole armor of God and realize, yeah, I get my way when I'm brazen, when I'm a bully. I get my way, yes. But is that the right way to get it? No. Okay, I better put on the whole armor of God. Not that I'm going to fight a fight with somebody else trying to tempt me, but fight a battle of a temptation that's hammering me. And if I'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, there's plenty of strength. There's plenty of power. There's plenty of kinetic energy. There's plenty, not just potential energy, but the word kinetic almost comes from that word power of his might. It's the idea, it's just awesome power. But when I realize, wait a minute, God wants me to put on the whole armor of God so that I can have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with truth. I can have all those things and be successful in being what God wants me to be today. I don't have to walk around intimidated, because I can do all things through Christ. But I need to walk around with my armor on. Yes. And that's what this chart is all about. Let's just look at it 2 seconds, and then, a little more than 2 seconds. Okay, I've got 3 minutes, and then we'll be at the right time, quarter after. If you'll just look at this real quickly, and let's notice, go from setting, let's look at setting one. Personal accountability perspective. That's Romans 8:29. And he says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. And whom he did predestinate, he also, and he goes on in verse number 30. So it's saying there that God's will for Miss Shelley, God's will for Brother Ronnie, for Brother Ron, God's will for Brother Larry, God's will for Miss Moss over there, all right? God's will for each of us is that we're being what God wants us to be. And that is conformed to the image of his son. If I've got an attitude problem, whatever it is, I need to get it right. And I'll be honest with you, as I look at the congregation, not just tonight, but someone asked me recently, How do you see our congregation doing? And I'm thrilled at what I'm seeing in some lives. Other lives, I think, maybe are just kind of relaxed and, we got through a mess and boy, okay, and we're just relaxing. And that's okay once in a while. That's why we have Oasis, an Oasis from time to time. You take a little break. But the truth is, God wants us to be engaged in what he's doing in our lives. And so that's what he's talking about here. What I'm talking about here is I wrote this, salvation, and then God's mandate is to be just like the Lord Jesus, and that involves sanctification. Sanctification has the idea of just being set apart from the world and set apart to God, set apart from my agenda and set apart to God's agenda, setting apart from whatever the devil would be delighted to setting apart of being not just a child of God, but a dearly beloved, a beloved child of God. All right? So now you got that. Let's go to setting two, though. Look at the attributes to the left of a godly life. You have joy and peace and trust and love, godly attributes. And then look to the far right, attributes of compromise. I think we went over this just a little bit. Attributes of compromise. You have traumas. Okay, when bad things happen, difficult things, cancer or a tsunami or whatever it is, boy, there's going to be surround sound temptations to say, why did God do this? Okay, and blame God. Now, God does do some things. Okay, he opened something brand new and opened a hole in the ground and a whole bunch of folks were swallowed up as a judgment from God. So God does do things from time to time. And there's other reasons God does it. But compromise, traumas, and then you have crises of different kinds, betrayals, illicit exposures, pornography, things like that that are not lawful for us to be thinking about. Okay? So here's what it's saying is, on the left side of the chart, you have what God wants in your life. Joy and peace and just love for the Lord and trust and all the things. On the far right, though, are the agendas of Satan and the underworld and our flesh to get us to compromise. Now, notice, if you will, in between the two is you have a barrier. And you'll see a little letter up there at the top, A3, I think it is. But under that, you'll see Ephesians chapter 6. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, or withstand the wiles of the devil. All right? So here you have Ephesians 6. Now, what do you have? What's right under that? What's right under Ephesians 6 there? What do you have? 14 through 17. That's exactly right. That's what we're talking about here. All right? And so what is that? All right? If you'll look at the very bottom of the chart, that same chart, setting number two, what's in that horizontal box there, that rectangular box? What do you have there? Scriptures. Very good. Now, are they Ephesians 6? No. You have what? Somebody tell me one of them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. How about another one? Okay, how about another one? Okay, and you have a couple of more. Now, if you'll look and you'll see the arrows from that bottom box, the arrows are going to the opening in the box. Everybody see that okay? And you'll notice it follows up to where you had Ephesians chapter 6. Here's what it's trying to get across. Is that when you and I are in temptation, how many of you want to be godly here tonight? You want to be a godly man or a woman for Christ, through the glory of God? Amen. 100% here, as far as I can tell. How many of you here tonight believe, even though you want to be godly, that there exists the possibility for you to be ungodly? Anybody besides Randy Bray? Oh, yeah. Everybody. Okay. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. To the book of Philippians, to the church at Philippi, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what this means is, when he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, or it's the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, whatever, what is that? Is it a literal sword? I unsheath it and I start whacking away at the temptation? No. Or a literal shield that I'm walking around downtown Shelby. Or not Shelby. Hendersonville. I walk around with that shield. No. What he's talking about here is to take into you the whole armor of God. He's talking about all the Bible principles that remind us of how much might we have available. And that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. And that I don't have to give in to any particular temptation, whether it's stealing or whether it's an attitude. No matter what it is, it's just, here it is right here. But I've got all of this available. So that when I know a particular area in my life, let's say I'm bitter, okay? Because somebody wronged me or whatever. I'm bitter. Okay. I've been tempted to be bitter, I think. So I better find out what the Bible says about bitterness. I better do a study about bitterness because I've got a vulnerable area here. And if I don't know how to guard against that, I'm going to get it whacked over and over and over again. And I'm going to give in to it over and 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 over. But you know what? I'm not being tempted right now, so right now I can get in the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Or I can see where the Bible talks about having strength in mental battles. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he, what? Trusteth in thee. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish, and we'll be finished. When I'm diligent in my own personal study of biblical principles, especially about areas in which I know I'm weak, that becomes the armor of God. Not in my resolve to, I'm not going to fall for that again. How many of you have fallen for the same temptation more than once? Anybody besides, yeah. No. My resolve can get knocked to the wayside pretty quickly if it's enticing enough or intimidating enough. Well, maybe just once. But when I, in the times when I'm not under the siege of the temptation, I realize, you know what? I've got a temptation to be bitter. I've got a temptation to be jealous. I've got a temptation to be angry. I've got a temptation to drink. I've got a temptation to curse. I've got a temptation, whatever it is. Okay, I better find out what God's Word says about that very thing. And I'm going to study the Word of God on some other things too, because I just love the Word of God and I want to study it. Here's what happens. When I get into a setting, and I'm over here, and I'm in a setting, and that has nothing to do with me right now, and I'm just walking along in life, peripatetic, I'm just walking around in life, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden, temptation's right there. And it begins to get closer, and closer, and closer, and I'm not trying to be tempted, I'm just there. It's followed me, like stink on a hog, it just follows. And it starts to tempt. But I've been hiding God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him, against God. That I might not sin against who? Against who? Guess who's going to remind me of the very scriptures that I study so that I can be strong in the power of his mind. That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit's going to remind me of those verses. Oh, there's the shield of faith. Boom! There's the hope of salvation. Boom! It glances off. Not because I'm a pastor, and I'm not going to give in to it. But when I study, and the Holy Spirit's going to remind me, there it is. Here it's coming. Here's the dart of the wicked one. It's coming. It's on. It's in. Thank you, Lord. If you hadn't warned me, Holy Spirit, if you hadn't warned me, it would have dinged my head. And I'd have had a bruise, an abrasion, or an injury that would have set me aside. Or I'd be limp. And I'd be saying, I did it again. But when we're prepared with the armor of God, we don't have to worry about, is this a shield of faith? Is this a helmet of salvation? Is this the sword of the Spirit? Is this the one spirit about the truth? No, when we're doing that in our study and we're equipping ourselves, it's not, okay, I need to have this. No, that's already there. We've gone about life prepared for whatever things come at us that the underworld would seek to distract us or to detour us, certainly to defile us.
And when we do it, give God the glory.
Amen. Amen. That's what Calvary Baptist Church needs in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Even with a pastor like Randy Bray, we need a church full of folks who are fervent in spirit, yes, but who are walking after the light as he is in the light, according to the Word of God, who guides us by the Holy Spirit unto all truth. And so just like Brother Travis said, when I'm doing this, trying to follow the Holy Spirit, and temptation is closer. Now, I'm not getting closer yet. In this illustration, I am. But it's getting closer and closer. The Holy Spirit's going to guide me into truth. Randy, there it is. There it is. You haven't been tempted in 6 months about that. There it is right now. There it is. Don't worry about it. Just claim this passage of Scripture and say, I may have done it yesterday, but yesterday's not here. I may do it tomorrow, but tomorrow's not here. But I've already been to God. Devil, that's James chapter 4. Submit myself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from me. And that's a promise from God. Amen. If you'll join me in standing, please.
Do you know the little chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus? How many of you know it? All right, let's sing it together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's make that decision, and I know you already have, but it has to be a continuing one. Put on, not in, but put on the whole armor of God. Be ready because you love the Lord Jesus and you're studying the Word. Say, Holy Spirit, just remind me when I need it and I'll follow it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for these who've come tonight. And Lord, I hope the online folks will just take what I've said and just use it as an illustration. And yet, if it's applicable, and say, you know what? We've put off going to church. Maybe it's time we trust the Lord. Not be foolish, but just trust the Lord and take provision, yes, but be where God wants us to be. Whether it's here or somewhere else, that's secondary. What's primary is being where you want us to be, here on the mission field, wherever it is, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. Please dismiss us tonight with thy presence and with thy blessing, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Lord bless you.